nitrogen. Boredom isn't a stimulus, Voronoff. I'm less sure, he said. There is, after all, a part of the human brain which is responsible for the sensation we call boredom. You can't argue with that. And it must logically be made active by some external stimulus, just like the brain center for taste or sound. He raised a hand. I anticipate your next point. That's one of my talents, you see. Anticipation. You might say it's symptomatic of my condition. I'm a neural net, which is so well adapted to its input that it hasn't evolved in years. But to return to the point in hand. You were doubtless going to say that boredom is an absence of stimulus, not the presence of a particular one. I say there is no difference, that the glass is both half empty and half full. You hear silence between notes. I hear music. You see a pattern of black on white. I see a pattern of white on black. More than that, in fact. I see both. He grinned again, like a maniac who had been chained in a dungeon for years and was now having a meaningful conversation with his own shadow. I see everything. You can't help it when you reach my, what shall I call it, depth of experience. You're quite mad, aren't you? I've been mad, Voronoff said, apparently not taking it as an insult. I've been through madness and come out on the other side. Now being mad would bore me as much as sanity. I knew he was not mad, of course, at least not screamingly insane. If he had been, he would have been no use to Ryvich's allure. Voronoff had to have some residual grasp on reality. His mental state was almost certainly unlike anything I had ever experienced, and I had certainly known boredom, but it would be lethal to assume he was in anything other than absolute control of his faculties. You could end it all, I said helpfully. Suicide can't be the hardest thing to arrange in a city like this. People do, Zebra said. People like Voronoff. They don't call it suicide, of course, but they suddenly take an unhealthy interest in activities with a very low survival probability, like diving into the gas giant or saying hello to the Shrouders. Why not, Voronoff? And then it was my turn to smile. No, wait. You almost did it, didn't you? Posing as Ryvich. You were hoping I'd kill you, weren't you? A way out of the pain with something approaching dignity. The wise old immortal, gunned down by the out-of-town thug, just because he happened to take on the persona of a murderous fugitive? With no bullets? That'd be a trick worth dying to see, Mirabel. Good point. Except, Zebra said, you realized you liked it too much. Voronoff looked at her with ill-concealed venom. Liked what too much, Tarin? Being hunted. It actually eased the pain, didn't it?
What would you know about the pain?
No, I said. Be honest, Voronoff. She's right, isn't she? For the first time in years you actually remembered what it was like to live. That's why you started taking stupid risks, to keep that buzz alive. But nothing was good enough, was it? Even jumping into the chasm was just mildly amusing. He looked at us with new eagerness.
Have you ever been hunted? Have you any idea what it's like?
I'm afraid I have had that pleasure, I said, and fairly recently, too.
I'm not talking about your little hunting games, Voronoff said, spitting the words with total contempt. Scum in pursuit of scum, present company accepted, of course. When they hunted you, Mirabel, they stacked the odds so heavily in their favor, they might as well have blindfolded you and put a slug through your head before they even let you run.